camera with a flash. That flash device is actually an EMP device. And I measure the voltage and the capacitance, and I'm able to figure out the energy that's produced from it. And I calculate the energy. And also it's documented that other people have done it on a center fuel tank and tried to figure out how many millijoules or joules of energy we needed to have that center fuel tank explode. EMP device and a camera. Power in joules. It's 1/2 of the capacitance times the voltage squared. I talk about the power grid, power quality, and Tesla coil. The history of EMP, the Compton effect, the H-bomb, Tesla coil, Marx generator, explosive devices, armatures. The H-bomb, Starfish, this is what really started it all off. In 62, they exploded an H-bomb about 800 miles from Hawaii. 30 strings of streetlights went out, and 300 streetlights all in all went out. And they attributed to just this H-bomb, the electromagnetic pulse. There's a lot of conflicting information that I've gotten about whether or not this really happened as it was said. They never developed a type of scientific process to see how much the impulse disabled things, or whether it really was a cause. But this is the history. The Marx generator, I again use the Marx generator in developing all these pulses. Invented in 1924, it's a novel concept to create high voltage. I'm sorry, I got to take drinks, but the medication that is gives me dry mouth, and I need all the caffeine I can stand. It's a novel concept to create high voltages. Capacitors charge in parallel. The capacitors then discharge in series. Pulse injecting. Electrical lines, telephone cable, coax, network, grounding strap. I found my favorite thing to use is the grounding strap, because a grounding strap has access to everything. Everybody thinks, well, we put it to ground, and I find that it's the only people who would actually know never to use a grounding strap for grounding were people who did serious work with Tesla coils, because they would know that you'll fry all your electronics, but nobody else would know that. Dumb digital devices. Some digital device I found, and usually it's just stupid calculators, they just keep on going, putting any numbers on the display, no matter how much you pulse and everything else. They just keep on working, and you're going to see samples of this. It's also a type of EMP fuzzing when you inject these pulses, because the microprocessor is picking up these pulses as just randomness. They don't know what to do unless it has a sophisticated algorithm to see whether or not this is actually garbage. Smart devices, what they do, they reboot. And I'll show you device rebooting. Unfortunately, I killed a laptop that I did have. I did destroy the hard drive, and I just about killed it. But I did have a demo that I was going to do, which shows I boot it with Linux, and it stops, has an error message. Then I booted with Windows 98 and stops, has an error message. I also had a new Acer computer, which was only like 15 months old, and it needed a new motherboard and processor. And also the hard drive went, and then the optical device went. And again, this was before I was as knowledgeable that these processors are much more sensitive, and there is an aging to them. Controlling the network of devices. As long as you keep pulsing, they cannot bring the network up. Again, Linux, Unix, Sun, Windows, routers, they will not be able to reboot. Moore's law, every 18 months, the number of transistors doubles that can be put on a silicon wafer. Again, as you decrease the die size and decrease the voltages, things are becoming much more susceptible. Not all electromagnetic pulses are the same. You have sometimes pulse width, the pulse rise time, the pulse rate, the harmonics that are generated, the frequency. I should have set up a demonstration with a Marx generator as a null test, showing that even though I have a Marx generator and I'm creating pulses, nothing happens, because these pulses are not a combination of rise time and intensity and frequency that they'll disturb something. Which, by the way, I say, if anybody, you're going to have my phone number and card, if anybody wants to challenge me, I can show them someplace, and they take all challenges. It's very possible somebody could set up a Marx generator and say, hey, I can't reproduce this guy's experiment. Okay. Byzantine faults, large real-time distributive systems. What is a big Byzantine fault problem today? It's the robotically controlled airlines. and pulsing one of them would just be right up its alley to disable it. Both Boeing and Airbus have tried to use different operating systems on different devices, different schemas, network protocols. They tried to mix it up enough so that no worm, no one virus could be lethal to everything. My pulses are lethal to everything. Supervises control and data acquisition. Well, these are the large-scale, real-time distributive systems that control a number of things. Obviously, you do not want somebody injecting pulses into any of these systems. As we go green, we're increasingly more and more microprocessor-dependent. Robotic trains. In New York City, we have the L train now, and since it's totally robotic, there is one motorman up front, but there's no conductor. And I think robotic trains can be particularly susceptible to this. One thing that I've never gotten information about, the third rail arcing actually creates pulses. I don't know if it's out of the frequency of spectrum that it's a problem, or it's that they did record it, they know what it is, and they filtered it out. But again, you can inject pulses into it that is outside this filter range. Fly-by-wire, again, the Boeing, I prefer Boeing. The pilot is in control. Airbus, the computer's in control. In Airbus, the pilot can only go within a certain range of attitudes with the aircraft. The computer's overruling him. Boeing, the pilot is always in control. The computer's just there to augment him. TW Flight 800. Let me just take a drink. There was a test, and I think it was on a 737 main fuel tank, not on a TW Flight. And it was on, I think, Science Magazine and Science Channel. Basically, they found that 75 millijoules injected into the tank could cause it to explode. The one thing, if you did inject these pulses into aircraft, the flight recorder probably would record some artifacts. You'd probably see some artifacts of spike, or at least some ringing, because they'd actually be some type of ringing as it reverberates through the network. And again, this ringing, probably they would not, if they saw the ringing, they would not understand what it means. And certainly not of the airplane. Again, power, capacitance. I measured the capacitance. This is from one of those simple cameras, you know, the throwaway camera with the strobe that you throw away for $10. And the capacitance was 102 microfarads. The voltage was about 300 volts, probably 4.5 joules of energy. So it was well outside the range where it could actually, if you injected it from just this camera, it could cause a center fuel tank explosion. Doesn't mean it did, but it could. Air France, this one went down. I don't want to talk too much about this. I was waiting for them to recover the flight recorder. This was a robotically controlled plane, too. If somebody's Air France robotically controlled planes, especially the Airbus, start going down or disappearing mysteriously, I would say there's a good chance somebody's injecting pulses into them. Hospitals, they're microprocessor rich. They have a combination of dumb devices, smart devices. Smart devices, somebody always have to reset them, or they'll try to reboot, or they'll turn themselves off. The power grid, we have three main power grids and subgrids. We have an East grid, a West grid, and a Texas grid. We also have something else, and again, this is covered more in my other talk on injecting pulses into the electric grid and infrastructure. And again, this is something that Homeland Security or the other people would not think of or anything else. They do not think of it coming from this type of a vector, or that you can build a device powerful. You don't need that much power. You really don't need as much power as people think. Certainly not to black out Queens and Brooklyn. And that's pretty big. You're going to need to run the pulsing devices longer to cause the transformers to fail, the insulation. But to bring down the microprocessor controls, it'll go down in about 5 minutes. And they won't understand what's going on either. Power quality, again, this is something that can be affected by injecting pulses into the grid. Inductance, capacitance, harmonics, transients. The gadget that I'm talking about, I think you to bring down the whole grid in the United States, I think you'd be bringing about 20 to 30 of them, and the total cost would be about $25,000 to $35,000. It's not really a lot of money. The gadget would be about 60% based on the Tesla coil. I would probably try to use solid-state MOSFETs, and that's what I'm using on the MOX generator, and when you see the video of it, stand by for the video. The videos are much more interesting than you'll remember the videos. You won't remember this. Unfortunately, you have a good deal of problem with fratricide that you end up destroying your own solid-state devices after a while. The tube, this is 833A, is a vacuum tube, and a lot of people use it, and it's indestructible from electromagnetic pulse. That's also something that's an idea. Grid stresses. What stresses the electric grid? High temperatures. New Windows viruses, because there's a Windows change cycle. There's a change cycle that some of these supervising control data directors, they actually run Windows. Not everybody's up to date on the Windows. Software change cycle, when there's a new change to this supervisor control version, hot weather, injecting pulses into the grid, that's another stressor. And again, it's not something that they would understand. Bringing down North American power grid, I believe 20, 30 devices will do it. I didn't build the Tesla coil yet. I've been gaining more information, although I've been sick for a while. For the past 2 years, I haven't been able to build it yet, but I will be able to build it, and it's doable. And I mean, basically, you could probably take the MOX generator type device to one police plaza or to 166th Street in on Jamaica Avenue, which is where the NYPD has their forensic labs, and take everything out. But it's doable. What it is that this is tremendously asymmetrical, in that for a relatively small device, you can produce large-scale disturbances because these microprocessors are just so sensitive. And again, if you inject into wired systems. Now, let me go to something really fascinating and interesting. Let me do a dumb device first. And the only reason why I call it a dumb device is because I probably should have plugged the sound in. Can everybody hear it or not really? Can everybody see the number screen? Yeah, this is a dumb device. This, no matter how much I throw it just, you also hear my parakeets in the background. It just keeps recording. Any stupid number can. Generally, standalone type devices, like a pressure sensor, a temperature sensor, anything else that's connected to a supervised control data, would be a dumb type device. Basically, it would be an analog device reading this, and then it's digitized and out on the network. The batteries are running down, that's why you don't see. But again, this is a dumb device. And again, that's my Spark app in the background. Can everybody see that well enough, or? What? No, the sound is from the MOX generator pulsing. Unfortunately, one other thing about the MOX generator is as you go up in power, they become really, really loud. And big generators, you actually have to hear earmuffs because it's over 135 decibels. But I think I got a way to fix that. Let me see which other one I want to do. Let me do the, oh, here it is over here. This would be considered a smart device because what happens is that it turns itself off when I try to pulse it. I keep trying to put numbers in it, and it just keeps going off. You can't really see too much, but the smarter devices, the more sensitive, are much more sensitive. I don't have to show the dumb thing that I was holding right over there. This I'm holding at a greater distance away. They're just much more sensitive. And, of course, this doesn't work too well anymore because, so again, this is turning itself off. And again, that's the Marx generator. That's the pulse that you're hearing. What happens is the Marx generator is misfiring. You hear pulse, but it's not firing here. It's misfiring. You're going to see it. I'm going to do the very last one, which is the transformer. I did it twice with a Sony video cam. And just when I turn the Marx generator on, my wife is holding the video cam. It gets blown. She's about 6-7 feet. But this is the same Marx generator. What happened is I have the wire, since I have a transformer and I want to spread it out so you can see it, I have basically a large antenna. So the greater my antenna, the more problems I can create. I do have something designed that it will take out a couple buildings, or I think that I could take out a borough easily, but only with just a Tesla coil. Again, I'm going through electric wiring, so. But I'll show you. My camera's not happy, and let me show you something else here. Okay. Right now, what I'm showing you is I'm connecting a wire up to an outlet, and I'm connecting this part of this wire up to one part of my spark gap, and it's plugged into a metal outlet, and you hear my parakeets over there, and it's connected to one side, and what I just want to demonstrate is that these pulses readily travel through any type of conductor, very readily. I don't ground. Everything's floating. And with the Tesla coil, everything be floating. What happened is that you can't see it. I have the video camera set up. I eventually have to get my wife, and you will see the numbers disappearing on this. So it does go through wire. No, even the Tesla coil, everything is floating. By the way, if anybody's interested in robotics, I want to design an EMP package to go in somebody's robot for Robot Warrior. I mean, basically you're taking out the solid state. It doesn't matter how big or how powerful their robot is. You're taking out the solid state control. You're shooting it in the head. The only problem that I'm having, but I'm working it out, and I'll work it out, is that fratricide. Okay, she's coming over. I'll hold it up. I'll start it again. What happens is the battery's running down. I should have really redid this, but I was getting sick. But I promise you will see it going through the wire and everything. I'm running this off of batteries. The reason, and I'll tell you the reason why. Now, at the end, you'll see her zooming in, and you will see the numbers disappearing and disappearing. So again, this pulse is going through the wiring. And now my dogs are barking. My dogs don't like this. Actually, when my dogs hear the noise, they think I'm home. But you see the numbers disappearing. Again, it readily conducts to wiring. And again, you do not need a really big device. You really need, and this is... Okay. Now let's show something else. What else is good here? To that. Okay, let's show the Marx generator. Let me do a walkthrough of that. And else here. Oh, here it is. Here's a videotape of the Marx gen. And I basically do a walkthrough of it. And I'm able to do it outside, so it looks even better. Each orange thing is a capacitor, and you see those little resistors that are basically... The reason why I have some soldered together is that you can go through components pretty rapidly. So you see the capacitors, they charge in parallel, And then they discharge through these very thin wires here that are a little hard to see. They're in series. And then I'm pointing at those two wires there. And I'm going to show other components, so you won't feel left out. So I'm going to show the other components that I need. This is basically a jig to test different components. There's a spark app, which you've already seen. The integrated circuit, I have two analog meters to see what's happening in my circuit. I can't use digital meters because I burn them out. That's a 555 timer. Again, 555 timer all over the internet. And that is basically sending a pulse to pulse my MOSFET. This is like a type of power transistor, this MOSFET here. And it gets pretty hot. And I also have a clamping circuit there too, or snubbing circuit. That's a flyback transformer. It's a high voltage transformer for a cathode ray tube. It's a transformer for a cathode ray tube. It's a high voltage transformer. And now I think I'm going to show another Marx generator. So again, the orange capacitors and the resistors are the actual Marx generator. What I showed else is the charging circuit for it and the spark app. This is another Marx generator where the pulse is contained within this pipe. Because what happens is that these can become very loud. And they'll set up motion, some noise sensors that attach to window panes, breaking window panes. So they could set off somebody's alarm inadvertently until you cut the power to the alarm. Well, no, the alarms have a battery power too. Actually, no, they'd still go out because they'd still die. Okay, let me show something else. Let me show a surge protector. This is in my basement, and I have the wire from my spark app connected to the grounding lug of the surge protector. It doesn't really matter what surge protector it is. I mean, if you want to bring... Excuse me? No. Surge protector is not even plugged in, because if I plugged it in, I'd be transmitting the pulses into my electric wiring system. And excuse me? Yeah, a generator would work. So that's a surge protector, and you see the numbers. This is a dumb device. And these surge protectors were not designed for malicious pulses or malicious electromagnetic interference, and they can't really protect the device if somebody's going to inject a malicious pulse into them. But I knew I would have a question. Well, what about my surge protector? So I have that there. Okay. Let me show something else. I'm looking for something else. I have kilowatt. Okay, here. No, this is... Okay, let me just... Okay. Now, what I'm doing here is a little different. I still have it connected to my surge protector, and I have a wire, a black wire, plugged into the surge protector. And you're going to see a yellow wire loosely wrapped around it. And that yellow wire has alligator clips, both ends. And what you're going to see is that when I start pulsing, I'm going to radiate enough of a pulse into the yellow wire that the calculator that's on it is going to feel the pulse and the numbers will disappear. Some of the numbers will disappear. This is very attenuated, but I just want to show you that when you inject these pulses, you're injecting, but you're also radiating into free space. And the bigger your antenna, like your wiring system in your house, the bigger the radiation area. So now you can see this. I'm going to have to reach over. What I got, all nines plugged into there. So again, this is initial radiation, which was in that excerpt that I read to you earlier about radiation. The conducted pulses also radiate. Fortunately, I'm working by myself, so I got to reach over that. And you see some of the numbers have disappeared. And again, this is an example of the radiation that would occur. It's more of an issue if you start to do a whole power grid, because the power grid becomes your antenna. Okay, let me do another one. Let me do the camera, which is quite a pulse device. I took apart one of these cameras, and basically the capacitance, and it has a little transformer in there, which is set off by that big capacitor, which I measured the voltage, and said I measured about 4.5 joules. So this would have been enough to certainly set off the center fuel tank of the TWA-800. Now I'm outside with it, and I'm charging it up, and I want to try to show the voltage. I almost get it to 300 volts, but it really does pop. Yeah, I'm going to slow down. Yeah, it's does give a pulse. No. I was using the device in the flash, part of the flash, that it charges up a capacitor, which discharges through a like a flyback transformer into the strobe. Instead, I was just discharging it as an arc, getting an arc by shorting out the terminals. And I was just showing that this is a pulse. But I measured the pulse, and it's about 4.5 joules. And when they measured the amount of energy they needed to set off that center fuel tank, it was about 75 millijoules, 75 thousandths of a joule. So, I mean, you've quite an effective device there. Let me do... This is my kilowatt meter, which I killed. This was just on my table, and it's the other meter, 126, is reading the correct voltage, and that's reading 201, 202 volts. And... I just fry different things. And what also happens is that after a while you find some things in the house stop working. But no, my ASA, I was really upset about that. But for the motherboard to go, and then the hard drive, and then the optical reader. No, there's not too much interest in here. I do have something that... The next one, I think, is the last, but I think that's probably one of the more interesting ones. Let me... Sergello. Did I do this one? Marks generator.
What about going through a transformer?
That's the last one, and that's what I'm going to show. And this is the one where you will see the Sony video cam lose focus. And I did it twice, and when I looked at the, I realized it wasn't anything my wife did, that it was because of the, that is a transformer. I have on one side of it, I have a wire going to this calculator. The other calculators you see died. And they will die. I mean, I don't know how soon they'll die, but they do die. Okay, let me just stop this. 1 second, let me just stop. You probably missed it, but the minute I start the Marx generator, you hear the sound, it goes out of focus. And again, this happened, this was on the two takes. I did this twice and it happened on both times that it went out of focus. So the minute you hear the sound, you'll see it go out of focus. And she has it on this side of her head. So she's. Again, this is through the transformer. The transformer is still good because I didn't do this too long. And then I should do a continuity test here too. Yeah, my wife is not a very good assistant. Well, no, basically, so you have the primary and secondary. It doesn't matter where you have the primary and secondary. These pulses readily go through transformers. Again, if anybody wants to, like, call me on any of the information and you're in the New York City area, you want me to demonstrate it, I have no problems. What? Yeah.
But have you considered that maybe
the No, I don't think it's No. Yeah. No, you're right, but no, I don't think it's Yeah. I think so.
Really?
I think so. Let me show. No, I think readily it can be taken down. You cannot really, again, when you inject it through the wiring, and it's possible that if you inject it through the ground. I don't think you have to be. I think you have to. You could just be at your seat. In any power plug. Or I think if you energize the superstructure of the thing, I think you'll cause problems. Yes. External sources, they've been hit by lightning, they've gone through radar fields. These are all external sources, and the body acts as a Faraday shield and it travels around it. Excuse me? Well, I don't know about that, but you would not want to fly an Airbus because of the system that it has. I have something else. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. Would anybody? I have something else that might be an interesting video. It shows a fabric which I have here, and a Geiger counter, and an X-ray source or gamma ray source. Would anybody like to see that? That was another talk that I was going to give, but I just got too sick, so. And I have, by the way, one of the fabrics here that you could feel. And by the way, you can obtain those fabrics from a website called Less EMF, because people who are very concerned about Wi-Fi, one man's Wi-Fi signal is another man's pollution, and we really have a saturated society. I'm probably going to do a talk on that at DEF CON next year. Originally, I was going to do that, but I'm just too sick to travel. As a matter of fact, I got to take another Percocet in a little while because where did I put that? It's here. I know it's here. Oh, here it is. Airport. Oops. No. It's here. No, Rad.
CDV 700, everybody rebuilds them, the internet.
See, that's a Geiger counter, the CDV.
And it's 137, that's a gamma. If I put my probe, then I put the
No, making the probe as sensitive as possible. The X-rays that you have on those bodies are soft X-rays. They don't penetrate the skin, they bounce off. And this is the fabric that one of the first fabrics I tested. So I have no problems with people if you want to feel it. What? I'm doing more testing with a lot of these fabrics. So probably at DEF CON I will do that. Excuse me? If you created some of your clothes out of it, it would show. You would have to. One of the vendors for one of the body scanners wrapped a Beretta pistol, a Beretta 9mm pistol, in a fabric that looked like this. But he wrapped it so you could clearly see the outline. You knew clearly it was a pistol. But I'm not talking about wrapping it. I'm talking about creating clothing. And this is what it's meant to create clothing out of this. If anybody is interested in robots by creating an EMP package for their robot, or if they're interested in looking at something about these fabrics, or it's... Those are copper fibers. By the way, when you go up on a plane at 30,000, you're getting more of a gamma ray exposure on a plane than you will through any of these scanners, airport scanners. As a matter of fact, if you have a dosimeter with an alarm, a dosimeter measures the amount of X-rays that you're exposed to. With an alarm, most of them will have an alarm. If you go up on a plane at 30 or 40,000 feet, the alarm will go way off. It will go off because you are more exposed. Again, if anybody is interested in helping me out, especially when I get well, and I even have a box of cards, and my actual, this is actually my... My cell phone. Yeah? Even if they're powered off, they'll still be affected. I'm not sure. Believe it or not, I found that if I have my Marks generator pulsing at an extremely high rate, the Faraday shield doesn't work. And I'm not sure if it's images, if anybody took physics, electrodynamics, if it's images or what, that I'm charging up the Faraday shield itself and that the charge is, again, rapidly leaking off and that's creating a pulse. That's something that's sort of... Nobody. I've never seen an explanation. Maybe nobody's done work that far in the field or figured that a Faraday shield. I mean, every physics and engineering student learns of the Faraday shield. That's how you protect electronics. And now I see something that maybe something else happens when you get up to very high field changes. The second derivative of voltage versus time, when that becomes very, very high, something else happens. Maybe there's another... Anyway, I muted this, but... You really have seen what happens. Here's the fabric, and it's the A fabric, it's the first fabric. And there's cards up here. And, you know, anybody has questions, you know, go right away. I'm going to take a Percocet only because I have a great deal of pain. It's...
Are you familiar with the Shore Shield product? It's a silver mesh woven fabric.
I think that's one of the fabrics that you find on Less EMF website, but I'm not really familiar with it. That would probably work great for the scanner, the airport scanners. Actually, something. I'm sorry.
I just want to follow up. Can I show a video real quick? I uploaded because there was a comment about wearing the suit, but I just want to show how pliable this material can be.
Do you have a physical sample? Like I have a physical sample of the first fabric, the eighth fabric. Okay, show it. I don't have a problem. I can't believe that. So, yeah, go ahead.
How directional do you think you can get the pulses? Like, I see that you have the chocolate effect right on top of the, you know, the sources, but if you were to wrap it through a directional antenna, do you think you could one direction instead of having to radiate at all?
I don't think I could get too directional. I might be able to shield some things with, let's say, a reflector. But I think I would be still 180 degrees in one direction. It's sort of dangerous, in a sense, injecting the pulses into a thing, because you don't know what's going to happen, and you don't know how far it's going to travel. And you also shouldn't do this. If anybody has a pacemaker in the household, you shouldn't play with this.
All right, Paul.
Yes.
First of all, thank you, and I hope you're blessed with good health.
Thank you. No.
The other one is worse, certainly softer.
Yes, yeah.
So, see if I understand this right. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're using basically a three-wire, you know, hot neutral ground.
Yes.
Wires.
Yes.
Okay, that are running into any building.
Yes.
Okay, and you don't induce enough of like the right pulse sequences. That reminded me a lot of my Navy.
Yeah.
Radar signals, you know, like pulse width, repetition, mm-hmm. all that. You know, you get the right pulse training, okay?
Yes.
And you run that up through the wires. There's no firewall, okay? You're attached.
There's no protection
boxes,
in the grid, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, a ground wire, okay, you could, like,
you can still ground the wire, but the pulses are going up to the electronics. It's going to go straight in, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like a localized RFI.
Yes, yes.
Weapon.
Yes, okay. I believe the Soviet Union. When I read that excerpt, when that paragraph was very vague, very nebulous about what they were talking about, disturbances. I believe they've done a lot of research with it, and I believe they also know how to take down a power grid with it. The Russians, and we don't have anything that. Most of our work with EMP is through hydrogen bomb, armature, or something else like that. So I believe that there's a lot more that's coming to that. Let me explain something about Con Edison. Con Edison, and it's a little different than other power companies. Con Edison has basically off their generators, they have three wires for the three-wire, three-phase system. And what they do is when they locally distribute it, the three wires go into a transformer, a delta transformer. And the other side of the transformer is a Y transformer. And the center point of that Y is grounded. That's the ground. So basically, which, again, that's part of my talk on the electric grid. Basically, it doesn't matter where you put that pulse, it's going into the grid. I'm sorry.
How is this different than lightning? I know
lightning is a single pulse. Lightning is a single pulse, or in the grid they expect a couple pulses, maybe nearby. I'm talking about many pulses. Again, I said that the semiconductors, they do have a learning, they do have a history to them, that the more you do it, so you do for smaller pulses, adding up. So that's why I said multiple pulses. I guess it's a little nebulous about this, but you saw multiple pulses. Some of these devices, oh wait, I missed the video. My God, Jesus Christ. Plug me back in. I missed the video. I missed a good video, too. This is really a good video, too. Really. Am I in again? Okay. I missed the good. Wow. Again, oh, here it is up here. That's why. Again, don't try to do something cognitive or work with electricity when you're taking too many Percocets. This is going to show. Is in my garage. It's going to show a cable box, and what I have this wire going up. And what's his name is speaking. When you start seeing the static on the screen, no, you don't see it yet. When you start seeing the static, the lines on the screen, that means I turned on the Mark Zenner. Now that's going to eventually lose the time. They try to reboot. So the time's 11:14, and just about, it's trying to reboot. It can't reboot off the network because the longer I keep that up, it's just going to do that. Even though, I mean, okay, if I knew you applaud, I would have taken out Manhattan Island. I mean, and you know, it's not that much to take out the grid. It's a lot less. Anyway, I did that only. I don't own the cable box. The cable company does. But the other problem is that my doing it, I'm shutting down the lifetime of the cable box. Let me do it again. But again, this is an issue that I said smart devices turn themselves off, try to reboot, or they need some type of manual reset. Again, I need to do it to some more smart devices because usually it. Oh, what happened is I muted it, that's why. But it's having a hard time already, and this is just. By the way, that's a metal box. That cable box is a metal box that I have that wire resting upon. Again, the Faraday shield. Again, if I crank up, in other words, the second derivative of voltage versus time, if it's really, really up there, the Faraday shield doesn't seem to help you. It should be put out between 30 to 50,000 volts. I'm telling you, it's not, even with a Tesla coil, it's not a big device you're talking about. I'm talking about something that will fit into a van easily. Again, I don't think this is something that homeowner security conceives of. If you tell any, I was a physics major, but tell any physics or electrical engineering major that a Faraday shield does not shield your electronics all the time, they would say, this is impossible. I'm sorry.
You said that you might have an idea of how to make it quieter earlier?
Yeah, I got to make it quieter.
Do you know that idea yet, or is that just the game plan?
I'm working on it, but I'm working more on the Tesla coil, Mike, because that's, is more of a big energy device that can do real time. I mean, it could do real time, put out an airport, or JFK Airport, or Manhattan Island. I mean, really, from what I measured, I said, it's more like, aside from the Russians, what I read there, why hasn't anybody else done this? Why haven't they, it's sort of like, why hasn't this ever been discovered? Or so, go ahead. Inside the plane, you'd have to be inside the plane. The planes are they're well grounded, well connected in that an external pulse is not going to do anything. They do a lot of tests. NASA does a lot of, spends a lot of money. They're very bright people. They're not thinking of this type of a pulse, this type of a power pulse. And again, if you continually do it, again, this is the important, but continual pulses, like you saw on this cable box, the pulses were continuing. It was trying to reboot. It can't reboot. It's trying to reboot. It can't reboot. The only reason why I stopped it is because I'm also sending pulses through the cable subscribers themselves. And although people have had Tesla coils that arced over into the electric grid, and the utilities always said, well, this is ball lightning, strange lightning. They've never realized that something like this happened. And naturally, if this happens to you, and this is from private communications that I get from people, you're not going to admit it because, you're going to have the electric company come after you or the cable company? I'm sorry. Yes.
So what kind of frequencies are these pulses coming?
Basically, you're creating a lot of harmonics. And I don't have a spectrum analyzer. Although if I did, I'd have to find out a way to use it without burning it out first. That's a big problem that I have. But you really want something that's very harmonic rich. You want extremely high rise time. Yes. That was a PVC pipe, and the sparks were in the pipe itself. That was to make it a little quieter.
Okay. All right.
So.
Wouldn't the frequency be based on your 5x5 timer circuit? I mean, isn't that the oscillator that's driving your Marx generator?
It would be. It depends upon really how fast I charge it, how fast I discharge it, the capacitors that I use. The Marx generator doesn't really scale up well to use it as a weapon. I mean, a big-time weapon. But the Tesla coil does scale up well to use it as a type of device that you could bring down a power grid for a number of weeks or months.
Right. I'm sorry. The question I had was, you know, once you get to like between 30 and 50 kilovolts, as you said, due to the flyback transformer, you may be generating from straling radiation.
Yeah, yes.
Parking, yes. Can generate X-rays.
X-rays, yes, exactly. You are doing
that.
As a matter of fact, I have a detector that I did use, and that it was, at first I thought it was the electronics and the dosimeter that I was being pulsed. But when I put a lead shield in front of it, I realized it was actually the X-rays. It was the
X-rays. So you're being exposed to the X-rays?
Yes, yeah.
But you wouldn't be hearing much.
No. Again, the Marx generator does not scale up as well. I'll take your question. One reason is because the electric strength of the air will break down. So you have to really go for a Tesla. If you want something to do industrial strength, like in the hundreds of billions of dollars worth of damage or trillion dollars, you got to go with a Tesla coil. I'm sorry.
As far as the Faraday cage, a better Faraday cage reduce?
I don't know, because I have my own limited funds and I use my funds for this. So I haven't really tested all the ramifications of it. I have always been surprised on the side that this is more destructive than I could have thought. And again, the Soviet people, the Russians, that article was from 2005, so they had the full 5 years to play with it, a full lab. So they must have learned a lot of things. And they probably learned how to basically bring another country's electric grid down. Let me a small country's electric grid down. I don't think they want to release the type of information to everybody because they have their own infrastructure that they have to worry about. I mean, this is more like if a case of Peru or Argentina wants to bring Brazil down. This is more of an economic type. Again, it's not something that, you know, we have homeland bureaucracy that they would be able to pick up on or understand or even conceive as a device, even though it's extremely asymmetrical. In other words, you create a lot of damage for very little money, and you're hard to detect. If I start injecting pulses into the electric grid, big-time pulses, I'm going to start bringing things down, and then I can stop and let you bring your grid back up. But you may not realize what happened to it. You may think that it was hit by lightning. This is not a problem that they understood or aware of, or it's almost like a first virus when you see things in. One telltale thing is that if you have a box running Windows, you have a box running Sun, or a box running Linux, and they all go down together, then it's probably AMP pulse. Yeah.
Would they be able to track the origins of the...
I don't think so. I thought about it. I don't think so. I think it'd be hard to track. Because you don't have to continue pulsing. You could just stop. They would have to find out what's going on initially, and... Again, the times when people who have Tesla coils that arced over into either the grid or into the cable system, they figured that it was sometimes strange lightning or ball lightning, some strange phenomena, some man-made phenomena. And as I said, somebody who had that happens, they're not going to say, well, it was, you know, my coil did this. They did that through free space, so I don't think, what was it, Ocean Limited? They said they did an EMP pulse on a casino.
Kind of
Well, that was sort of a made-for-movie, made-for-TV thing. You can't really use it and then generate it in free space because it falls off too rapidly. You have to inject it through a wiring system. And again, you build a Marx generator much more powerful than this one, although you have an upper limit. The thing is that if I say that the pulse, it depends on the number of times you pulse something. So if you pulse something at 500,000 volts, and then it goes right out, and then you pulse it at 50,000 volts, but you pulse it for a couple of seconds or minutes, you're going to be more destructive with the 50,000. The more, again, it's the number of pulses. And that's the important thing. Not one great big pulse, but it's the number of pulses. I'm working on that. No, really, I'm working on a counter means to it. But as I said, this is not real. I'm sure the Soviets take this very seriously because they had a lot of time. They were very nebulous or vague, that disturbances. They didn't say what they did or anything else. So, and they must have found a lot of things. They must have found, hey, my God, this is fantastic. This is like a new type of attack thing that the United States doesn't know about. So that's why I really think there's a reference there. And if you take my cards, again, email me, and I'll give you whatever references you need. And if you want me to come down to your place and do a demo for you guys. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. This is one of the fabrics, if you'd like to feel how it feels.